From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. If you've heard of the jazz artist Esperanza Spalding, then you know that you're in for a treat in this next segment. If not, we'll tempt you now with a bit from her 2008 album, Esperanza. The rising jazz star brought along her upright bass to Studio 4A recently and sat down with my co-host, Michelle Norris, to talk about her style, her process, and her brand new record.
Esperanza Spalding blends jazz, R&B, Brazilian vocalese, and classical. She creates music with a vibe that proved to have broad appeal at a moment when many in the music industry were fretting that young people were turning away from jazz en masse. She managed that rare feat, earning raves from the most discriminating jazz aficionados, the Straight No Chaser set, while also attracting a loyal fan base of urban hipsters all over the globe. And it helps that at 25, Spalding is herself an urban hipster, with her massive afro and her funky wardrobe. And it helped that she had fans in high places. President Obama invited her to perform at the White House twice and at his 2009 Nobel Peace Prize ceremony. We invited Spalding to stop by Studio 4A here at NPR for a preview of her latest CD. It's called Chamber Music Society, and as the name suggests, it reaches back to her classical training. Welcome back to NPR.
Thank you.
What does chamber music mean to you?
My favorite description that I identify with the most is music among friends. That you get together, like-minded individuals, and you choose a piece of music, and you sit together, you sit close to each other with this music on the stand, and you have to listen so carefully, breathe, and be connected so intimately with everyone around you to balance all of the parts involved in bringing this piece to life. And amazingly, I realized kind of through the process of exploring this music, that's exactly what any ensemble player does in the jazz idiom, too.
Yeah, I'd like to listen to a piece of music here in the studio. And as we do, I want you to help me understand how this music came to you. And through the imagining, the composition, to the point that it becomes something that we hear. I want to listen to Winter Sun.
Once autumn's glow gone away, and gray cotton clouds like lousy days. You're the winter sun.
Was this a winter composition for you?
It was. I was living in New Jersey at the time, in a mildly dreary neighborhood, and I would be inside writing, and you know, you see the light coming in and you look to check if it's sunny yet or not in the winter. And I just started to notice, like, wow, that's a really amazing pattern that all humans have. You see light, and in the winter particularly, you're like looking, is that overcast light or is that sunlight? Because I want to know whatever that will do for me. So that's where the inspiration of the idea came from. At the time when I was just experimenting with some colors, building chords with fourths. So all over this song, the harmony is relies really heavily on a lot of chord voicings that are built out of fourths. And actually, the time signature is just four, but the pattern kind of falls in odd syncopations.
You never take the easy way.
You know, it feels very natural and easy to me. I never think that my music isn't easy until I go to teach it to other people. And then I'm going like, why aren't you getting this immediately? It's just blah, blah, blah. It just feels very natural. You know, I write at the piano, so I write things that fit comfortably under my hands. And I'm not thinking in terms of any specific compositional methods. I'm just seeking sounds. So this particular song, the bass line came first. And that's very C minor-esque. And I said, like, no, I don't wanna do that. What is the tonality that this line is really speaking? So then it's this exploration, finding the right tonality. And in a way, you kind of have to listen passively to what you're actually playing in your own song. That's how I feel. You listen in a kind of passive way to hear what the song needs to do next. I pretend like I'm listening to a pre-existing piece. And I'm, oh yeah, that's right, now this is going to happen. And then I try to find that sound. And this song was a perfect example of that. All throughout listening, when it comes time for the solo section, going like, okay, we've been in this shape, in this type of bass line, very kind of round, circular pattern that comes back. I either want to elongate that or shorten it. And I chose to shorten it for the solo section. And it originally didn't have words because I felt like the music spoke to the content very well. Winter sun, that idea of really longing for the sun to come out and never being, you can never stop looking. It's going to be the same temperature, but for some reason you want to see the sun. And then when I was on a tour with some other musicians one night at 1 a.m. and I couldn't sleep, the lyrics just all came at once. And this image of this bare tree that's in front of my house in the winter, when the sun comes, I see, of course, the bark lights up. And I was thinking like, wow, as a tree, what a wonderful feeling that you're freezing and to suddenly just feel that warmth of the sun pass over you momentarily. That must be a really wonderful sensation. It certainly is to me as a human. And that lyric, you bathe the naked branches in warmth and light. And then by the end, I've taken it on myself. You bathe my naked branches in warmth and light. And it's hard to talk about all the details. I don't feel very intellectually engaged most of the time when I'm writing. It's a very intuitive process. So that's the best explanation I think I can give.
The bass, particularly the upright bass, mm-hmm. is an instrument that often provides deep meaning and tone and emotion to a composition. You started playing this massive instrument at such an early age. I'm wondering if you mastered the instrument before you really understood its capability to convey meaning and emotion and lend soul to a composition.
That's funny you say that. I feel that it's exactly the opposite. For what I can imagine and feel and think and hear, I can do hardly anything on the acoustic bass. It used to just be such pure frustration of imagining so much more and being able to get to a certain level of execution. And then my body couldn't do it yet, because it takes many years to master this instrument. It's very very particular. I don't want to say it's physically demanding, but you really have to practice very carefully to get to a point where you feel comfortable and at ease on it.
If you said it was physically demanding, we would understand.
Yeah.
Because it's just a few feet from me. And it really is. It has its own chair. It's very, very large. Since you carried the bass in with you today here to Studio 4, I would love if you would mind picking it up and playing a song for us, and maybe the first song from the new release,
yes,
Little Fly, which
Little
is
Fly.
Your interpretation of a William Blake poem.
Yes.
The Fly.
Beautiful poem. Ooh, yes. That poem is a doozy. It gets me. I remember being in Portland and picking up this book, that the painting on the cover of the book struck me. I had no idea what it was. I just saw the painting. I said, like, wow, that's really beautiful. Let me see what this is about. And the first page that I turned to of actual reading was this poem. And in the store, I read the poem like about 10 times. It's just an incredibly powerful, simple poem. It really struck me. And that I bought the book and put that poem above my desk. So it's been in front of my face for 8 or 9 years since I first saw that. And then 2 years ago, practicing, this melody evolved, developed out of somewhere when I was practicing. And at the end, I said, like, wow, okay, I definitely want to put lyrics to this. And I realized that it fit the poem to a T. Somehow my subconscious really wanted to sing this for the people. And that is the story of Little Fly.
Will you sing it for us?
Yes.
Sing this for the people.
Absolutely. Little fly,
summer's play. My thoughtless hand has brushed away
Esperanza Spalding. Thank you so much for coming back.
Thank you. Thank you.
Esperanza Spalding. Her latest recording is called Chamber Music Society.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.